Contains the word surprise as the emotion that is excited when something totally unexpected happens. Surprise. That emotion that is excited when something unexpected happens. If there is an appropriate word about the birth events of Jesus Christ, it would have to be the word surprise. For everywhere you turn, you are coming against the totally unexpected. As we go this morning back into this story that is so familiar to all of us, we're going to find some new and challenging things from this story to challenge our own faith. I want you to notice in Luke 1, Mary's surprise. The Bible says in the sixth month, and that is a reference to Elizabeth's pregnancy. Elizabeth is Mary's cousin, and she too was pregnant. And the Bible says in the sixth month of her pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." And Mary asked the angel, "How will this be, since I'm a virgin?" The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Where was she? Was she having a good day? Was it early in the morning before her day got started? Was it late at night in a room by herself? Was it out of a house and out of a building? Was she on an errand, running an errand for the parents, maybe to pick up water from the well in the city? The Bible doesn't tell us where or when, but suddenly she's face to face with the angel named Gabriel. Isn't God good that He would give us the name of the angel He dispatched to this virgin in Nazareth? You know, of the myriad upon myriads of angels that serve the Lord God, we know the names of two. Gabriel and Michael. Now, when Gabriel comes, it's almost always good news. When Michael shows up, you better look out. What was her reaction? What was she feeling when suddenly she found herself face to face with an angel of God? Well, her reaction was typical of the response of one visited by a heavenly visitor. It was one of absolute terror. Now, we live in an age of exaggeration. We're used to exaggeration, so exaggeration doesn't bother us much. But listen, when the Bible says she was greatly troubled, you need to understand that is not an exaggeration. And the first words out of the mouth of the angel, after it says she was greatly troubled, in verse 30 it says, "He said to her, 'Do not be afraid.'" I don't know if you've seen any of the art or the Christmas cards that got some of the art about the Annunciation. This is called the Annunciation. It was the announcement that the Savior was to be born. But every time you see Mary in this art on Christmas cards, or you know, you see it in some of the art displays around the country, around the world, Mary always looks very calm and serene and at peace. And there's this glow of a halo over her head, you know? Those people are reading a different Bible than I'm reading. Because the Mary in this story is terrified at the appearance of the angel. And he has to assure her and say to her, don't be afraid. Now, maybe you've noticed some of the angels on the cards. Maybe you've gone to a store like I was in yesterday with my wife. I went along with her to the mall, and I found myself in an area of the store where they had Christmas ornaments that go on Christmas trees. And I noticed some of the angels that you would put on the Christmas tree. Let me tell you, most of the angels you're ever going to see in art and on ornaments in Christmas trees are not the kind of appearance that would cause you to fear. They look like nice, effeminate little boys from down the street. But when Gabriel appears, it's fear. And Gabriel has to say to her, don't be afraid. Because you are going to be with child, and you're going to name him Jesus. He is going to be great. He's going to sit on the throne of his father David. He's going to reign forever. And I'm not sure she even heard that last part. She's still back there on the first part. Pregnant? A baby? How can this be? I have never known a man. I am a virgin. And Gabriel patiently takes the time to explain to her how it's going to be. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. You're going to be overpowered by the Most High. And what is born of you is going to be called the Son of God. And for the first time this week, I started asking questions about the things Gabriel did not explain. You ever thought about all the things he did not explain? Number one, how was she going to deal with Joseph? What would she say to Joseph about what had just happened to her? How many sleepless nights did Mary spend with a knot in her stomach trying to figure out how to break the news to Joseph? Where did she tell him? How did he take it? Did she see the depth of the pain in his eyes when she told him? How would she deal with Joseph? No explanation from Gabriel. How would she deal with her parents? Now, folks, listen. The most careful, understanding, loving, faith-filled parents in the world would find Mary's story a stretch. Mom, Dad, I've got something to tell you. I'm pregnant. And it's of the Holy Spirit of God, and I'm going to have a son, and he's going to be the Savior of the world, and we're going to call him Jesus. Say what? How would she deal with her parents? How could she make them understand? Gabriel didn't appear to them. Gabriel appeared to her. And there's no explanation of how she's going to deal with parents. And how about the community? How was she going to deal with the whispers about her when she came down the street? How was she going to deal with the hurt she felt inside when they uttered a certain name descriptive of a son born illegitimately in their culture? And how was she going to deal with herself? How would she deal with her own doubts and fears to see this thing through to the end? On the television program that aired for a few seasons and was taken off the air a few seasons back, 30-something. There was an episode around the holidays where two of the characters on that program, 30-something, who were married to each other, Hope, who was a Christian, and Michael, who was a Jew, got into it over the holidays. It started when Hope, the Christian, says to Michael, her husband, and a Jew, "Why do y'all even bother with Hanukkah? Why do you even bother with it? Do you really believe that a handful of Jews held off an entire army with nothing but lamps that miraculously never ran out of oil? Do you really believe that?" And Michael is incredulous. He turns to Hope and he says, "Oh, and I suppose Christmas makes more sense. Are you telling me you believe that an angel appeared to a virgin in a town named Nazareth and that she got pregnant without ever having had sex, and she traveled all the way to Bethlehem just in time to deliver a baby in a barn somewhere, and he was the Savior of the world? You telling me you believe that? That makes more sense? I'll tell you something, people. Michael's response to the story is probably much more accurate to the way people responded to their story than we're willing to admit. How in the world was Mary going to deal with all of those people? The questions that she must have had. How do I say it to him? What am I going to explain to my parents? How am I going to deal with the community? How do I deal with my own fears? Her response: I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Surprising response to a surprising announcement. And now back to Matthew 1. And let's look at Joseph for a moment. His story is told in Matthew 1, beginning at verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. When Joseph woke up, verse 24, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not have union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. We know a little bit about Joseph. The Bible tells us he was a carpenter by trade. Early tradition has it that he made the best oxen yokes in that part of the country. Whether that tradition is true and accurate, I don't know. But we do know the Bible tells us he was a carpenter. We also know about him, he was righteous. For the Bible tells us here, he was a righteous man. And we're going to see in both of his responses, the initial and the aftermath, he was compassionate in his approach to life. He was compassionate to Mary in that he didn't want to hurt her any more than he had been hurt. And he was compassionate in that when he took her in to be his wife, he took her in with a compassion that few men on the earth would have experienced. Joseph. But there are a lot of things we don't know about Joseph. Like, where was he when Mary told him? How did he respond? Did he respond with anger? Did he shout at her that she had betrayed him? Or did he simply drop his head in absolute brokenheartedness? Did tears fill his eyes when she told him, or was he able to hold himself together till he got out of her presence? I don't know all of the answers to the questions about Joseph, but I do know this: he did not believe her story. There were two ways to put a girl away in this kind of situation. In the Jewish culture, in the Jewish law, he could put her away publicly in front of a public court, which would bring, of course, public disgrace. Or in the presence of only two witnesses, he could privately put her away, and that was the route Joseph chose to take. I don't know how many nights he went through sleeplessness trying to come to his decision, asking the question, what is the right thing to do? What is the best way to handle this? What is the least way I can hurt Mary in this deal? But the Bible says when he had it in his mind to put her away privately, when he had made his decision about what to do with Mary, then that night in a dream, God visited Joseph. And the angel of the Lord says to Joseph, you don't be afraid to take her as your wife, because what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit of God. And you are to name him Jesus. Now the shoe's on the other foot. How is Joseph going to deal with his parents? Mom? Dad? I mean, what's he going to say to his father? How can he make them believe? And how is he going to deal with Mary? How did he go to her and say to her, Mary, forgive me for not believing you? But God appeared to me in a dream and he confirmed exactly what you told me. And how was he going to deal with all of the rolled eyes and the questions from his buddies that were going to say, you're going to take her to be your wife? You're going to do what? And Joseph, the Bible says, took her immediately as his wife. And then get this, folks. He lay next to her for months and never touched her sexually until she gave birth to the Son of God. You talk about a surprising response to a surprising announcement. This is it. Two quick applications and we're done. Number one, a work of God often comes with two edges, great joy and great pain. A work of God often comes with two edges, great joy and great pain. Can you imagine the joy that Mary must have felt at being a partner with God in the incarnation of God Himself? Can you imagine the joy of being the one woman on the entire history of the planet that is going to give birth to God's own Son? Can you imagine the joy she must have experienced in that? But then on the other side of the coin is all the pain. The pain that was going to follow her for years. The pain that was going to accuse her of something she had not been guilty of. The pain of hearing her son called an uncomplimentary name that was used to describe illegitimate sons in their culture. The pain of watching this young man grow up with his story following him everywhere he went. And ultimately the pain of standing there and watching him be crucified between two common thieves. You see, the work of God often comes with two edges, great joy and great pain. You know the problem we have in our society? We got a lot of people who are willing to sign up for the great joy, but want no part of the pain. You realize that Mary and Joseph are the first ones to receive Jesus on His terms? They received Him on His terms, not on theirs. And you realize that for 19 plus centuries, the call of Jesus has been, you come and receive me on my terms and not on yours. And it's a double-edged sword. Great joy and great pain. Yeah, I want to embrace you, Lord, but I just don't want to do this or give that or be this. Listen, if you come to Jesus Christ, you come to a work of God that has two sides. Great joy, great pain. Second application, we're done. Faith calls us to trust God in times we don't understand. Faith calls us to trust God in times we don't understand. There was no way that Mary or Joseph could have understood fully what all this implication was for them. There was no way they could explain all of it to the people around them. There was no way that they were going to be able to understand and explain. Their faith called them just to trust Him. You know something? That's what God calls us to do. There are things that happen to us in life that we cannot explain and we don't understand. And in those long nights when our lives are filled with questions and we have no answers for them, God asks of us one thing: trust me in this. Faith calls us to trust in times we don't understand and cannot explain. The story of the coming of the Savior of the world is a story filled with faith and a story of a surprising response by two surprising young people. For Mary, she was probably 14, 15, maybe. Joseph was probably in his late teens. But what a faithful response these two make to the call of God in their lives. Brothers and sisters, that's what God wants of us. A faith-filled response to His call and His work. Let's pray. Father, as we go back again and familiarize ourselves with this story, we're overwhelmed at the faith and the commitment of these two young people. Father, thank you for Mary's response. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. And it is our prayer that that might be our response. That when your call comes to our lives, that great joy and great pain might be embraced by us. And that we'll say as Mary did, may it be to me as you have said. And Father, thank you for the faith response and the compassion of Joseph. So much we don't understand about him. But Father, we're inspired and encouraged to be like him. May we respond with grace and compassion to the people we're in contact with day in, day out. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, the call of Christ is come and follow me. I must tell you, it has two edges to it. Great joy and sometimes great pain. The joy of knowing that you have been saved, the joy of knowing heaven is going to be your home, the joy of knowing that there is nothing in this life that can touch you in a place where God has blessed you. But sometimes it also brings great pain. Sometimes ostracization. Sometimes being cut off, made fun of, made sport of. Sometimes you're called to decide some things and follow some ways you don't understand and can't explain. But the call of Christ is always, come and follow me. Come and accept me, receive me on my terms. And I'll give you eternal life. This morning he invites, would you come to him right now while we stand and sing?
Why did he drink the bitter cup?